Story Time with Helen Adam, Baby Cool Abby. I hope you enjoy the stories. Bye.
Today we're going to be reading Dory Phantasmagory, Tiny Tough. Dory Phantasmagory, Tiny Tough. Chapter 1. Such an amazing bath toy. My name is Dory, but everyone calls me Rascal. I have a big sister named Violet and a big brother named Luke. They get all the attention and I don't get any, except when they're busy after school. Then I get my mom all to myself because I'm never busy. Today my mom says we are going to the library. Yay, I say I can check out new books. I love our afternoons together, says my mom. You're my little partner, so that means you like me the best, right? I ask. She winks at me and says, nope. At the library, I go straight to the big desk and ask the librarian, you know that book about the family who eats breakfast in the shower? And the mom wears a dress that's made out of live chickens? What is she talking about? And the boy eats with his feet, and then the lights go off, and they think they're dead, but their cat and dog turn on the electricity. Rascal, are you making this up? Asked my mom. No, it's a real book. And then they think they're in heaven, but they're really in their living room. It's so funny. Do you have that book? I'm sorry. I don't know that one, says the librarian. But here's a series you might like. It's called Happy Little Farm. That's okay. Thanks anyway, says my mom. Stop growling, she whispers and leads me away from the desk. My mom finds some books she likes and reads out loud. After 7 books, my mom says, Rascal, I'm going to the bathroom. I want you to read quietly while I'm gone, okay? I can't read. Yes, you can, she says. I'll be right back. A very short kid wearing a dinosaur tail starts talking to me. Her voice sounds like a frog. Read it to me. I'm a bad reader, I whisper. I really want you to read it, she says. Ask someone else, I say. Read it, says the kid. I guess I could tell you a story instead, I suggest. I want a scary story, she says. Well, that's easy. Once upon a time, I whispered, well, actually, right now, there lives a robber named Mrs. Gobblegrass.
Mrs. Wobblewaka?
Yes, and she's very sneaky. She lives in a cave and she's 507 years old. And she has a big black cake and fangs like this. And really long fingernails. And she's been looking for me for a long time. I'm in great danger. She wants to drag me off to her cave and pretend I'm her baby. I want to be in great danger, the kid says. Me too, says another kid. Are you scared? Asks the third kid. Of course I'm scared, but I have a monster and a fairy godmother who helped me fight Mrs. Gobblegracker. Mary, my monster sleeps under my bed. Her name is Mary. She's my best friend. And my fairy godmother is named Mr. Nuggy. He can do magic. He lives in the trees and he has a big mustache. And once, a long time ago, he turned into a chicken. If I have an emergency, I can call him for help. I can call him from a banana. They have a lot of questions. Is Mrs. Gobblegracker married? Did Mr. Nuggy lay eggs? So did Mr. Nuggy? Is Mr. Nuggy a man or a woman? Is Mrs. Wobblewackle real? When's Mary's birthday? What if you already ate the banana halfway? See? Shh! Be quiet, everybody. Mrs. Wobblewackle woke up behind the couch, says the girl with the dinosaur tail. What are you talking about? She sleeps in her cave, and it's full.
away. She wants breakfast, she says. Quick, we gotta make it, says another kid. Then all the kids start making breakfast, no matter what I say. It says 5 cups of ham. Mash it up. You gave me too much. If we don't make it faster, she'll throw bones at us. Says one kid. I just saw a flying bone, said another kid. She's coming. Oh, no. Oh, says a kid diving into the couch. Hide in the couch. Well, you better have coffee, I warned them. Mrs. Gobblegracker drinks a lot of coffee in the morning. No, she drinks sauce, not coffee, says a little boy. Bone sauce, says the kid from inside the couch. Don't say coffee, say sauce. Bone sauce. Then everybody hides from Mrs. Gobblegracker. Uh-oh, I see my mom coming back from the bathroom. I grab a book and pretend to read quietly. How's it going? Asks my mom. The kid pops out of the couch. Crush Mrs. Gobblegracker! Dory, say goodbye. We're leaving, says my mom. We got her! Pop out her eyeball. Let's drink her blood. Take out her skeleton. But I didn't check out any books, I say. I know, but I asked you to read quietly, she says. Instead, you've made all these kids savages. What's a savage? I ask. My mom doesn't answer. She just walks quickly to the door. Does it have something to do with pirates? I ask. I'm so sorry about the disruption, says my mom to the librarian. On the walk home, my mom says, Rascal, I was thinking, well, you know how you outgrow things when you get older, like your shoes? Well, you might outgrow other things. I'm not outgrowing them, but I say, hey, my shoes are shrinking. No, they're not, says my mom. Yes, they are. No, they're not, says my mom. Yes, they are. You know, I just thought of something, says my mom, trying to change the subject. What if we got you a new toy? Something really special. Something that you might play with a lot. Something that might be even more fun than your Mrs. Gobblegracker game. Like a Biber, I ask. What? No, Rascal, I would never. Okay, I know what I want. My mom looks happy. What is it, honey? She asks. Tubtown! I saw a picture of it in a magazine at Grandma's house. It's a town that sticks to the bathtub. It has suction cups that make it stick. It has an elevator and a shower and a fish and a clip shop and a lighthouse and a pool with a diving board and a little raft that people can go on and float around the bathtub. And Rascal, we already talked about this. That magazine was very old. You know how Grandma doesn't throw anything out? The company doesn't make it anymore. We can't buy it. But that's impossible. They'll never stop making the best toy in the world. Tubtown. Seaside Village. Bath toy. Attaches to side of tub. Safe and fun for kids two and up. Well, they did, says my mom. I already tried to buy it. It doesn't exist anymore. Does this have something to do with pirates? I asked. Rascal, did you understand anything I just said? Asked my mom. When I get Tubtown, I'm going to take a bath every single day. I'm going to smell as clean as a dishwasher. Rascal, can you be quiet now? I have to help Luke, says my mom. Then she says a bunch of math stuff to Luke. Luke gets mad. I already know how to solve it, he says. You're interrupting me. I already did that step. I'm going to pretend the little people in town are all kids and they never grow up. Luke, the answer can't be 64, says my mom. That's not right. Yes, it is, says Luke. And they do backflips off the diving board. I say, and they go headfirst down the slide into the ocean and they play in the waves all day. Think about it. My mom says to Luke, she can't have more cupcakes than she started with. You need to subtract. Can you just listen to me for one second? Luke wails. First I added, then I subtracted. Violet comes into the kitchen. Mom, I need to talk to you. Can you wait? She asks Violet. No, I can't. I got in a huge fight with Anna today. She made French lip braces, and she didn't make one for me. But then I found one on my desk, and I thought she made it for me. So I put it on, and she said that I stole it. A stolen bracelet? I said, "Establish. Is it pure gold?" I asked. "It's Stratton. Be quiet," says Violet. "Who's the thief?" I asked. "There's no thief, rascal," says my mom. Anna said she put it on the wrong desk, since everyone in my class just switched desks. She got confused. That says Violet. So I told her I would give it back, but I couldn't get the string untangled. When I finally got the string untangled, I was in the bathroom, so I put it in my pocket. When I got back to the classroom, it wasn't in my pocket. I told her I lost it, and she was really mad and didn't believe me. "A lost treasure?" I asked. "Does this have something to do with pirates?" "Why on earth do you keep asking that?" yells my mom. "Shh, rascal," says my mom. "But I don't understand why Anna wouldn't make you a bracelet in the first place. She's your best friend," says my mom. "She said I was being bossy, but she's bossy too." I grab a weapon. "Nobody calls my sister bossy." "Put the broom down," says my mom. "Come on, let's move away from Rascal." She leaves the kitchen with her arm around Violet. "I can help you with your homework," I tell her. "Yeah, right," he says. "Just listen," I say. "If you have 64 cupcakes and 6 bags of pancakes, but if you sit on one and 4 of the bags and 4 tacos go to the bathroom on your backpack, then how many bags of pancakes would you?" Bang! Oops. My mom rushes back into the kitchen with Violet trailing behind her. "Rascal, what happened? Luke, what did you do to her?" "He flunged me," I cry. "That's not even a word," says Luke. "He was teasing me about my math, and I barely touched her. She just fell. He flunged me really hard," I cry. "She is just trying to get me in trouble," says Luke. "Rascal, are you okay?" asks my mom. I'm about to make a bunch of sounds like I'm in pain and cry that Luke broke my butt. But even though it doesn't really hurt that much. But then I notice Violet's face looks red and smoochy. She looks sad, and I feel bad for her. "I can help you solve your problem, Violet, because I'm a pirate, and I'm the toughest," I tell her. So I stand up, brush off my butt, and then yell at the top of my lungs. And then at the top of my lungs, I yell, "Arr!" "Oh no," says Violet, "just when I thought my life couldn't get any worse. See you in a minute." Welcome back. Chapter 2, Something to Do with Pirates. You know how I always walk into doorknobs? I asked my mom the next morning. She says, "Well, it happened again, and now I need an eye patch." I say, holding my hand over my eye. "Your eye is fine," she says. "How do you know? You didn't even look at it." I say, "Because I can tell when you're up to something," she says. "But I need an injury so I can look like a pirate," I tell her. "I'm sure you'll get hurt before the end of the day," she says. "Can you punch me in the face and give me a black eye?" I ask Luke. "Sure," he says. "Luke, no!" yells my mom. "I wasn't really going to do it," he says. "I didn't think. After I don't get punched in the face, I look all around the house for a pirate jacket. I found one in Luke's closet. It's called a suit. So Luke, a pirate suit. Pirates are long jackets with shiny buttons, but I don't care. You can have it. I hate it," says Luke. "I love it." And then I remember that bandana with bones on it that I
Simba in our house once. When I show my mom my pirate suit, she says, I guess you can wear it to school. I mean, it's kind of weird, but it does fit you perfectly. Please, please, I beg. Well, you do match for a chance, and it's nice that it's actually clean. She asked my dad, honey, what do you think? Shiver me timbers. Fine, wear the suit, rascal. I have time to play before breakfast, so I grab a wooden spoon and wake up Mary. Come on, let's duel. Grab a spoon. But Mary says she's not in the mood to duel. But you always have to be in the mood for what I'm in the mood for. I say, I drag her out from under my bed. I want to play cards. She says, fine, we can have a go fish duel. I say, and then I say, grab the cards. I'll deal. Trouble starts right away. First, Mary bites me because she said I was cheating. I was. Ouch. Then Mary says I peeked at her cards, and so she tries to bite me, but she bit her arm by mistake. She thought it was my arm. Then Mary gets mad at me because she said I stole her cards when she wasn't looking. I did. This time, she bites herself, yes, again, and tries to blame me for it. I grab the stolen cards and run downstairs. Luckily, breakfast is ready. I'm going to help you find your treasure today, and then Anna won't be mad at you anymore. I told Violet, I will bite again. No, it's not a treasure, says Violet. It's a bracelet made out of string, and it doesn't even matter. Stay out of my business. But I've got pirate business, I tell her. Give me toothpaste, I yell at Luke and Violet when we go to brush our teeth. You don't sound anything like a pirate, says Luke. Well then, how do I talk like a pirate? I ask him, what do pirates say besides arr? I have a great idea. Well, you definitely ask the right people because we know about pirates. Because we know, says Violet. Right, Luke? Aye, maybe. Says Luke with his mouth full of toothpaste. First of all, you have to talk in a gruff voice. Move your hands around a lot and talk really loud, says Violet. Okay, I say. So, you know when pirates have to warn each other, like if danger, like if someone is firing a cannon at them? Uh-huh. They say, lower down the cheese and crackers, says Violet. They do? I ask. Yep, and you want to know what they say when they're really happy? Like if they found a big treasure or something? I say, what? Ahoy me, big buck, says Luke. More, teach me more. Well, they never actually say, walk the plank. Someone just made that up. What they really say is, spank the fishies. Spank the fishies. And you know about the power of dance moves, as Violet, right? No, I shake my hand. Don't worry, I'll teach you, says Violet. This is what pirates do when they want to look extra tough. It's called the Macarena. Follow me. The Macarena. First arm out, second arm out. Flip them over one at a time. Cross one arm, then the other one. One on your head, next hand. One on your hip, next hand. Then jump and clap two times. I did it! On the walk to school, I collect treasures in my lunchbox. That's a noodle. Don't put that in your lunchbox. Gross. I see a sparkly treasure and try to pick it up. That's my foot. Oh, no. But when I get to school, nobody knows I'm a pirate. Are you in the Addams family? Are you going to a visitor? Are you a business person? My teacher says, that's an interesting outfit, Dory. Thanks. I like your shirt, but not your skirt. I have two best friends in my class, George and Rosabelle. I used to sit between them, but my teacher said we talked too much, so she moved me next to Albert. Albert and I fight every day because he's the eraser thief. And any time I have an eraser from home, he tries to steal it, but not today because today I licked my eraser so he wouldn't take it. He got so mad at me that he said my bandana makes me look at, like a camel. I don't even care one bit about looking like a camel. Albert always says, this is so easy about everything. I hate when he says that. This is so easy, he says about our math problem. The answer is 12. There are infinity answers, I tell him. You're wrong, he says. Nope, I'm right, I said. Name Dory. How many eyes do six kids have? Show your work. 1 + 1 + 3 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 8. After math, just as we were getting ready for reading, there was a loud crash in the classroom. That was fun, says George, because that's what he always says when he gets hurt. But this time, he bursts into tears. I bumped my head, he cries. Ouch, how did you trip, George? Asks the teacher. Look, his shoelaces are tied together, says Rosabelle. Rosabelle unties his laces, but it takes a long time. I'm trying, she says, but he triple knotted them. That is not safe, George. Please don't ever do that again, says the teacher. Dory, can you take George to the nurse? You are so lucky. I wish I was injured. Want to know something really great? We are missing reading. Want to play Pirates when you stop crying? The nurse asks George a bunch of questions. Then she tells him to lie down. To get George to stop crying, I talk like a pirate. Ahoy me, big buckets. Lower down the cheese and crackers. I guess George isn't in the mood for pirates because he just looks confused and keeps crying. Spank the fishies. So I tell him about Tub Toy. He is the most amazing bath toy ever invented. Finally, he stops crying. He wipes his tears and says, I really, really, really want you to get Tub Town. George is the greatest friend on earth. When I feel this way, I like to tickle him. Raise your hand if you really want me to get Tub Town. When George is laughing, I notice that his toes are wiggling out of his sock. His sock has a hole so big that I can see 2.5 toes. Hey, can I have that sock? Sure, I don't need it, he says, and he takes it off. I smell it first. It doesn't smell too bad for a sock. Actually, it kind of smells good, like French toast. I put the sock on my arm and spank the fish and right through the hole to make a cast. Do I look like I broke my arm in a pirate fight? I ask. Yeah, he says. You look tough. How tough? Stuff it with tissues to make it thicker, says George. As I'm stuffing my cast with tissues, I hear a familiar voice near the water fountain right outside. It's Anna and Hazel, Violet's other friend. I brought my string so we can make more French bracelets at recess, says Anna. I brought mine too, says Hazel. I stare at the French bracelets on their wrists. Hazel, Anna. What if Violet finds out about the sleepover tomorrow night? Asks Hazel. Violet? You're talking about Violet. I listen harder. I'll feel really bad if she finds out, says Anna. I've never had a sleepover without her. Maybe we should invite her. No, don't worry. She won't find out, says Hazel. Want to be partners on the next class trip? Sure, says Anna. They walk away and I can't hear them anymore. I gotta go, I tell George, and then I run up out of the nurse's office and sneak up the back stairs to the big kids' hall. I have to help Violet. I have to tell her about the secret sleepover. Excuse me, can I talk to Violet? I ask Violet's teacher. I live in the same house as her. Violet doesn't look happy. Why do you have a sock on your arm? She says. George said I could have it. Smell it. It smells like French toast. No, she says. I'm not smelling it. What are you doing in my classroom? I need to tell you something, I whisper. I was in the nurse's office, and I heard. Then I think. If I tell Violet,
When what I heard about the sleepover, she might cry. And if Violet cries, I'll cry. Heard what? She asked immediately. I heard a loud crack, I whisper. Huh? My arm bone, I say, pointing to my cast. Why are you lying? Do you want me to tell Mom that you are lying again? Wait, I don't want her to walk away, but for the first time in my whole life, I don't know what to say. And then I say, breakfast was really good this morning, don't you think? Rascal, are those clothes making you ask weirder than usual? What do you want? I need to ask you a very important question. I say, okay, what? She says, I look down at my sneakers and that's the first question that pops into my head. You know, oh, the old lady who lives in a shoe? I ask her the nursery rhyme. Yeah. Is the lady really small or is the shoe really big? Because I never understood which one it is. That's what you wanted to ask me? Get out of here, rascal. See you later. Be right back.
Where's Mr. Nuggy? Asked Starletta. Why did you answer his phone?
see all friends together, says Mary. All three of us. I think of Violet, Anna, and Hazel. No, we definitely cannot, I tell her. That's when I remember the brownie. I saved a brownie from school to cheer up Violet. Hold on, I'll be right back. I run to Violet's room. Bam. Ouch, that hurt. Violet's holding her doll, Cherry. I thought she didn't care about Cherry anymore. And she's crying. Not a loud cry like I cry. It's a quiet crying. Like Snow White. Snow White crying is much sadder than my crying. I wonder if she knows about the secret sleepover. I didn't find your treasure, I tell Violet. But there was a birthday in my class today, and guess what? We have brownies, and I saved mine for you, and it was the biggest. Really? She says, wiping her tears. You did? Where is it? I tried to get it out of my pocket, but it's extra gooey and kind of melty and sort of crumbly. It's in your pocket? Yuck, says Violet. Get out of my room now. When I see Luke in the hallway, he looks at me and starts screaming at the top of his lungs, Mom! Rascal has poop all over her hands. Hurry, I'm not lying. She's holding poop. It was a brownie from Violet, I say, looking right through it. Wash your hands, says Mom. Actually, just take a bath. When was the last time you took a bath anyway? I follow my mom around crying. How can I take a bath without Tub Town? Rascal, I cannot get it. We've already discussed this many times. It's too old. Then let's ask old people. They'll know where did all the Tub Towns go. People threw them away. They broke. Some people probably still have theirs, but we can't buy it. People threw them away? They threw Tub Town in the garbage? I don't believe you. Nobody did that. Rascal, I'm done with this conversation. Get in the bath. And this time, please remember to take your socks and underwear off before you get in the bath. Socks and underwear are not body parts. As my mom heads downstairs, I hear the front door open. Then I hear what sounds like a lot of loud, scary pirate boots stomping up the stairs. My whole house smells like fish. Grab her! That's her! Get in the bath! They pick me up and carry me out the door. This is fun, guys. Thanks for inviting me, but my family is probably wondering where I am. Your mom said she needs a break from you, says the big pirate. Well, she didn't mean this! You lost your lunchbox again, didn't you? Asked the little pirate. Yeah, so now you have to do all our chores, says the hairy pirate. Can I go home and get married first, I ask? In my nightgown. Get to work, yells the little pirate. And so I do. I have to make the pirates dinner, wash feet, walk on their backs, then I have to scrub the deck. Is that Mary I see out the window? My Mary? I run to the upper deck. She went on a summer vacation without me, and she's with that pointy head dum-dum. Jessly hits me with a giant wave, dragging me under, swimming me around the water in my nose, sand in my eyes. Everything is sand. Now I know how Violet feels. I wave my hands over and yell, Mary! Mary! Over here! Help! Mary! But she's too far away. She doesn't see me. She can't hear me. No! 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 I cry. Mary can't have another friend. I'm the only one. Looks like even Mary wants a break from you, says the big pirate. Well, nobody wants you, says the little pirate. Except me, thunders a familiar voice from behind us.
Dun-dun-dun. You'll see what happens on the next chapter. See you later on the next chapter.
Today I'm going to be reading Chapter 4 of Dory Phantasmagoria, Tiny Tough. Chapter 4, Long Bones.
Mrs. Gobblecracker, what are you doing here? I asked her. But she doesn't have time to answer that one by one. She has to fight each pirate. And one by one, she throws them overboard. It's time to get out of here, she says. We jump off the pirate ship and into her little getaway boat. Since when are you a pirate? I ask Mrs. Gobblecracker. I need to get out of my cave, she says. Since when are you? What are you supposed to be in this outfit? A lawyer? No, I was trying to help Violet find a treasure. Oh, I forgot. Treasure? That's what I'm looking for, says Mrs. Gobblecracker. What a coincidence, I say. Don't say big words, she says. Say goo goo gaga. Why? Because I finally caught you. So that means you are my baby. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Oh, brother. Cooch cooch coo, says Mrs. Gobblecracker. We're going to make a great team. Maybe we will, I grumble. Maybe I'm just as bad as you after all. All this time, I always knew we belonged together, she says. We got out of the rowboat and climbed aboard Mrs. Gobblecracker's ship. I recognized Mrs. Gobblecracker's helpers from a long time ago. Follow me to the dressing room, she says, where we will find your baby pirate outfit. When I come out of the dressing room, Mrs. Gobblecracker squeals with delight. You look so cute! And I have the perfect baby name for you. Are you ready? Presenting my very own Tiny Tough, she says. Tiny Tough. Yeah, I kind of like that, I said. For dinner, Mrs. Gobblecracker feeds me baby food. I haven't had this in a while. It's actually pretty good. I say, I open my mouth wide. Mrs. Gobblecracker is feeding me. So let me get this straight. You don't want me to grow up, right? I ask Mrs. Gobblecracker. That means there are no chores and I can lose all my stuff. That's right, because you're my little baby, says Mrs. Gobblecracker, and I love my little baby, so you'll always love me no matter what I ask and drop my spoon, because that's what babies do. I'll love you forever, no matter what she says and picks up the spoon. But what if you're dead, I ask, and drop the spoon. I'll still love you when I'm dead, she says, and picks up the spoon. But what if I kill you, I ask, and drop the spoon. Hee hee hee, I laugh, just kidding. After dinner, Mrs. Gobblecracker says she has a baby monitor for me. He says she can always know where I am. Mrs. Gobblecracker, this is a walkie-talkie, I tell her. You know that, right? Oh, whatever, she says. I can't keep up with all this technology. Teach us some walkie-talkie lingo. What's your code name? I ask. Mine is Tiny Tough, of course. Mrs. Gobblecracker picks Long Bones. Not a bad choice, I tell her. This is Tiny Tough to Long Bones. Let's seal some gold over. Roger that. Mrs. Gobblecracker pulls out her hands and she takes them. Our first adventure together, we sneak up on a ship of rich ocean cats and steal their gold. We're bad, really bad. Surprise attack! After that, it was clear. We were a great team. Ahoy me, big buckets. Mrs. Gobblecracker, big, scary, sword fighting skills. Highly moved by greed, has pirate gear. Me, big muscles, fast, smart, can hide in small places, can do the Macarena. I hear my mom yelling, Rascal, get out of the bath! What on earth are you doing in there for so long? First you won't take a bath, then you won't come out. This is Tiny Tough Long Bones. I have to go. Do copy.
stop talking to the bar of soap? And why is there so much water on the floor? She yells. Sleeping on a bathroom tile. There was a lot of big fights in here, I said. That night at dinner, I told my family that I don't think my nickname should be Rascal anymore, because what does that even mean? Nobody knows. It means troublemaker, says Luke. Oh, duh, it does. Gobblecracker does, I said. You're friends with Mrs. Gobblecracker now? Violet laughs. I hate it when they laugh at me. I don't know what. Not exactly friends, I say. More like business partners. So you've crossed over to the dark side, Ashley, like in Star Wars? Once you start the dark path, forever will be your destiny, says my dad. May the force be with you. Later that night, I found out that Mrs. Gobblecracker cannot handle having a walkie-talkie. She keeps hitting the talk off button without realizing it. I hear her say a lot of weird stuff. What is she doing? 6:47 p.m. Huh? I said more lumps in it. 7:02 p.m. Remember that time a few hundred years ago when I found all that squishy meat under my chair? 7:19 p.m. But I want you to throw the fish at me. It feels good. 7:33 p.m. I finally learned how to blow my nose. This is tiny tuft along. You keep pushing the talk button. Can you please stop? I have to go to bed. Do you copy? 7:42 p.m. Whoops, sorry about that. Lady and good night. Over and out. Mrs. Gobblecracker finally is quiet. I think about Mary. I miss her soft, fuzzy fur. I miss her loud monster laugh. I miss her sneaky run. I miss all the games we play. I even miss when she gets mad at me and she goes bonkers and sits at the top of me. I wonder what she is doing right now and when she is going to come home. How do you fall asleep without a monster under your bed? That's the end of chapter 4. Or come back for chapter 5 and see what happens with me. See you on chapter 5.
Now, let's read chapter 5. This chapter is called Sock Bustles. Anyway, let's start reading it. The next morning, I put my socks in my shirt so I look like I have big muscles. Rosabelle and George love my muscles. Just call me Tiny Tough. I tell them that's my pirate name. Let's pretend that I'm a pirate princess, says Rosabelle, and we live on a little island together. Arr, I say, and let's pretend and a bottle floated to our island with a treasure map, Rosabelle adds, and we have to go on a treasure hunt, I say. I'll make a treasure map, she says, taking out her notebook. Can you be a parrot? Can I be a parrot? Asked George. Yes, but since you're a parrot, you have to, she says, drawing the map, you have to copy whatever I say, because that's what parrots do. Squawk, squawk, says George in his super high, screechy parrot voice. He flies around the schoolyard and crashes into the fence. That's not copying me, George, yells Rosabelle. Get back here right now. That morning, our teacher tells us we're going to learn a new song for math today. It's about counting money, she sings. Penny, penny, easily sent. Copper, brown, and worth 1 cent. And we sing back. But George sings in his super high, screechy parrot voice. The teacher says, who's singing in that awful voice? Whoever it is, please stop. Penny, penny, easily spent. Copper, brown, and worth 1 cent. It's him. We sing, nickel, nickel, thick and fat, worth 5 cents. I know that. George, is that you? Sing in your regular voice, please, says the teacher. In his super high, scratchy parrot voice, George says, sing in your regular voice, please. All the kids burst out laughing. Rosabelle whispers to me, now he decides to copy. George, that is not funny. You are not allowed to sing anymore, says the teacher. Then we go back to our desk so we can work on counting money. Sit nicely and the math helpers will pass out plastic coins, says the teacher. I write my new name on my math paper. This is so easy, said Albert. I could count money when I was 3. When you were 3, I bet you looked like a baked potato, I tell him. When I see the coins, I get very excited, and then I mouth the words to myself. All the treasure in the world is mine. At first, I just sneak a few coins from Albert when he isn't looking. But once I get greedy and all powerful feeling of being super rich, I sneak around the classroom and rob handfuls of money off tables. Hey, Dory took our money. She came and took all my quarters. I'm telling. I use one of my sock muscles as a money bag. Stop, thief. Dory, we're counting the money. We aren't playing with it, the teacher says, and if you don't stop playing, you're gonna have to miss recess again. Oh no. Rosabelle grabs me by the shoulders. Tiny toes, she whispers. You can't not miss recess today. Now she's in talking in her dead serious voice. Because a group of really mean pirates came to our island. They stole my treasure map and they have tied me up and you have to rescue me. I think I know those pirates, I say. You're the only one who can save me, she says. What would I do without you? Here you go. I don't know how to tell time, but I quietly stare at the clock anyway because I can't wait for recess. Finally, it's Tiny Tough. Save me. Squawk, squawk. Recess was more fun than ever. After school, I see Violet alone, and then I see Anna and Hazel together on the other side of the schoolyard. I march up to Anna. She smiles at me and says, hi, Rascal, what's up? I show her my muscles and in my gruffiest pirate voice, I yell, it's time for you to spank the fishies. And then I do the Macarena. Why are they giggling? This is a disaster. Now, what do? I feel like dying, so I pretend to stab myself in the heart. I close my eyes and make a disgusting dying noise as I fall over. Is she okay? I said, Elsa. Yeah, she's fine, says Anna. I'm dead, I say. Then why are you talking, said Anna. I think about it. I think about this for a second. Then I jump up and run away. Luckily, Violet doesn't see any of this. Thank you. walk home, I tell Luke and Violet that George isn't allowed to sit in anymore and all about stealing the fake money. So you almost missed recess as for stealing fake money, Esliz? Yep. But I say it, but don't tell Mom. If there's anyone in the world who would steal fake money, it would be you, Rascal, says Violet. Actually, I kind of like that about you. Okay, that was the end of chapter 5. I will read chapter 6, and it's called Opposite to You, up next after this break. Hello, I'm back after a short break, and here it is. As soon as I get home, I grab my walkie-talkie, Tiny Tough to Long Bones. Please state your location. State your location. Meet me at Monkey Island, she says. Use the map I left under your pillow. 10-4, I say. On Monkey Island, we dig for treasure, but the monkeys keep throwing coconuts at Miss Gobblecracker. Why aren't they throwing them at you? She yells. Because everybody loves Tiny Tough, I say, but when I look through my telescope, I don't feel so good anymore. Mary and Starletta are snorkeling together. I sit by the edge of the water and cry. A large fishtail splashes out of the water. Wait, isn't that a fish? Mr. Nuggy, you're here, I yell. Are you a mermaid? No, he says. It's opposite day. So I turn my feet into a tail and ate dinner for breakfast. And then I thought, what the heck? I'll just wear bait again and go for a swim. I love opposite day. I hate opposite day. Guess what, I tell him. I'm a baby, and Mrs. Gobblecracker is my partner. Ha ha ha, that's a great idea for opposite day. A terrible idea. No, I'm serious. I'm not serious. This is getting confusing. You mean, isn't confusing? Ah! Oh my gosh, you scared me. Get down here. Get down here. Here, right now. What on earth are you doing on top of the refrigerator? Gasped my mom. I'm on top of Mrs. Gobblecracker's pirate ship, I tell her. Give me that bagoot, she says. I can see everything from up here. You know, Rascal, if I knew you would behave this way, I would have told George his parents that you are not grown up enough for a sleepover. Sleepover? Did you say sleepover? George's parents have to go to a party and their babysitter canceled, so I told them George could sleep here tonight. But now tonight, my first sleepover, I'll behave. Okay, then show me, says my mom. I'm grown up enough, I promise. But as soon as my mom leaves the room, not so fast. You're my baby forever. Remember? Says Mrs. Gobblecracker. I'm taking you right back. If you don't let me go, I'll never get to see George in his pajamas. I bet he's going to wear his volcano pajamas. I just know it, because they're his favorite. He always talks about them.
Mrs. Gobblecracker takes me back to the ship and wraps me up so tight in a blanket that I can't move my arms. I cry louder than any baby has ever cried. Emergency, help, help, let me go. I'm gonna miss my first sleepover. She must mean there's no emergency. Don't help. I just love opposite day. Night falls. For a while, everything is quiet. The ocean is still. The sky is full of stars. Help, help, help. Oh no, that's Dory. I have to tell Mary. When the sun rises, a little bunny hops aside my crib. Who are you? I ask. I'm Mary's friend. What's your name? Mary didn't name me yet. Can you name me? Before I can think of a name, I see another bunny, and then another one, and then three more. And then my crib is full of them. And then I see the entire ship. It's full of creatures that look sort of cute and sort of dumb. We're being attacked by I don't know what. I hear Mrs. Gobblecracker screaming, "Load the cannons! Load the cannons!" Mary, you're here. Rascal, are you okay? I came as soon as I heard you were captured, and my imaginary friends came to help, says Mary. Mary frees me from the blanket, and I jump out of my crib. How did you get so many friends, I ask her. I have no idea. I was snorkeling with Scarletta, and I felt a little sparkly zap on my brain, and then all of a sudden, my imagination started exploding. I couldn't stop thinking of new friends. Interesting, I say. Hold on a second. I look out from the side of the ship to find Mr. Nuggy sunbathing on a rock. I meant shrink her imagination, I yell. Remember it's opposite day? I got confused. I'm sorry. It's okay, I say. Can we go home, says Mary. I'm way too popular here. Yes. Next time I hope you come on our vacation too, said Starletta to me. I think about it. I say, I give her a hug because what the heck? She looks like she really wants one. With Mary home, safe and sound, and sitting on the toilet, I put on my nightgown and run to tell Luke and Violet the big news. Guess what? George is sleeping over tonight. And I know he's going to wear his volcano pajamas. You're having a sleepover? You, even my little sister is having a sleepover, says Violet. A big tear rolls down her cheek. Oh no, she knows about the secret sleepover, but you can play with us, I tell Violet. When pigs fly, said Violet. That means never, by the way. And then she runs upstairs crying. I wait at the window for George. My friends are back. And when Mary's friends fly by, I wonder, maybe Violet will have some sleepover fun after all. That is the end of chapter 6. We only have one more chapter left. But we're going to take a quick break before that chapter. And maybe even read another quick story.
David, no! No, no, no!
That's enough, David. Go to your room. Settle down. Stop that this instant. Put your toys away. Not in the house, David. I said no, David. Davy, come here. Yes, David. I love you.
Okay, now let's read chapter 7. It's called The Sleepover. Since we had a break with another book, we are going to read the last page of chapter 6, which was called Opposite Day. Oh no, she knows about the secret sleepover, but you can play with us, I tell Violet. When pigs fly, says Violet, and that means never, by the way. And then she runs upstairs crying. I wait at the window for George. My friends are back, hide me. When Mary's friends fly by, I wonder, maybe Violet will have some sleepover fun after all. Now we're on chapter 7, and it's called The Sleepover. Just when I think I'll die, if I have to wait one more second, George arrives wearing his volcano pajamas, and he has one on a giant camping backpack. My mom says, wow, George, it looks like you came very prepared. My parents said I could pack my bag by myself, says George. How responsible of you, says my mom, giving me a look. They were in a rush, he says. The bag is so big, George has to crawl up the stairs. I help him push him up. When we reach my room, I ask, what did you pack? What's in your backpack? Open it. George pulls out a very large thing. A rubber sleeping bag? No, it's a rubber raft. We can blow it up. That's all you packed? I couldn't fit the oars, he says. No clothes, no toothbrush, no underwear, I ask him. I only wear underwear on special occasions, says George. Now, guess why I brought this raft? In case my house has a big flood? Nope, guess again. Because you pee when you're sleeping, so you need a waterproof bed? I won't tell anyone. No, for Tub Town, you silly. He says you need to buy it because you don't need to buy it because we can just play it. Wow, George is the greatest friend in the whole universe. We take turns blowing up the raft. It takes a long time. Tub Town, we use up all the air inside us. When we get our energy back, we put on bathing suits and throw the raft down the stairs. We carry it into the backyard. We find big sticks to row with. Row faster, George keeps yelling. We're almost there, I say. I think I see it. What the heck are they doing? Home, sweet home. We go up the elevator. We eat fish and chips. We take a shower. We slide down head first. We look out from the lighthouse. Mine, all mine. We jump off the diving board, and then we have a visitor. Hey! Wow, this is nice and cozy, says Luke. Let's dump him out, I say. He's too heavy. Violet, help me, yells Luke. I need backup. Let's crush him. Violet, help! Violet and Luke drag us out of the raft, but we keep running and jumping back in, and they drag us out again. Everybody is laughing. I don't know why, but George keeps calling Violet Sergeant. Help! The sergeant got me! He yells, George, stop calling me that, says Violet. Although, it might be fun to be the sergeant and boss you guys around. Yes, boss us around, please, I beg. Please, sergeant, begs George. I know, let's play army boot camp, says Luke. Okay, says Violet. I want 50 push-ups from each of you. Rascal, you're breathing too hard. Then my mom calls from the window. Violet, Anna's on the phone. Violet runs inside. We stop doing push-ups. I peek in the window and spy on Violet. I can't hear what she's saying, but she is smiling. I lie in the grass of Luke and George. I guess this is the end of our game, says Luke. But then Violet comes back, blowing a whistle. Yay, we all cheer. The sergeant is back. She makes us do jumping jacks and run around the yard. After our warm-ups, the sergeant says we're ready for our first challenge. We have to make all the beds in the house. No way. They don't make beds in the army, I complain. Of course they do, yells the sergeant. We try really hard, but when the sergeant comes to inspect, she says we all failed. These sheets are not properly tucked. After dinner, we complete our next challenge. It's called Who Has the Most Willpower, which means who can eat their chocolate pudding last. We all tie for last place. I guess I'm the winner, even though I wasn't even playing, says the sergeant. So good. After our final challenge, an obstacle course in the backyard in the dark, we have an awards ceremony. Violet made awards for everyone. I get third place, biggest beast. Luke gets second, sweatiest. And George gets first place, the gold medal. That night, George and I stay up late and eat cookies, and nobody ever finds out. The next day, Violet makes me a friendship bracelet, and then she makes a whole bunch more. Who are they for? I ask her. I have a lot of friends, she says. Really? Some real and some imaginary, she says. Then she winks at me and smiles. Tie it tighter. It's tight. It won't fall off, I promise. The end. Ouch! What was that for? A love bite. Now I encourage you to go read the first four in the series. This is the fifth and final book. I encourage you to now go read the first, second, third, and fourth book in the series. And you already know what happens in the fifth book now. Ow. I will tell you a little bit about my channel after a short break. And we will hear Adam say goodbye. Hi guys, let me tell you a little bit about my channel here. So we have this podcast where we're going to read a lot of stories to you, and it will be really fun. So you'll hear a lot of stories on this, and it will be really, really fun. So listen to Storytime with Owen and Adam.
Thank you for listening to Storytime with Owen and Adam and Baby.